Welcome into Real Kipper and Bourne. No Kipper today. I am joined by the great J.D. Bunkus, who I'm going to introduce in just a moment. I just did. Let's just say hello. Hi, J.D.
Hey.
Hi. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you today. We are still live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet Plus. Technical directors Jake Schultz and Derek Brandeo. And as always, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Bunk, how are you, pal? What's going on?
I always want to know where Kipper is when I come in.
Wedding
in New Jersey, I think.
He's actually funny. He was like,
he's a gallivanter.
Yeah, he gallivants.
He was actually like, hey, just so you know, Monday, you can call me in the car. I'm going to be driving back from a wedding in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was like, why don't you just not do that?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, okay. He agreed.
Yeah. Maybe he wanted to give your show the big scoop.
Do you think there is one?
Well, he gave one to not your show.
Oh, yeah. last week when we were talking about, he talked about Marchand.
Yeah.
You went on with the other guys.
Yeah. You got a show, right?
What's funny is he'll often give it to us about going on other shows and being like, you don't want to give the good stuff to the other shows or whatever. He's aware of what's going on.
Yeah, so. He came in and I was like, you should have done it. Oh, what?
Yeah.
What?
Everyone knew that.
Yeah, everybody knew.
How have you guys enjoyed watching the Panthers celebrate their Stanley Cup victory?
So hard.
Yeah?
Hard for you?
No, like, they're celebrating it hard.
It looks exhausting. I can't help but feel like, God, they must be tired.
The most 40-year-old guy thing I've ever heard.
I think a couple things. One is, I've seen some blowback on Twitter from fans of the Oilers and some others that have gone, like, this is such a classless way to celebrate
Classless. What a dumb word.
I know, but that's it, where they've gone, oh, they didn't have to call out the Oilers. Like, Marchand wearing the losers crest.
I will say, I didn't love that.
I love it. I just, again, for a sport that is aching for genuine animosity, like that thrives in animosity.
Of course.
Why do you remember Avalanche Red Wings, right? Yeah. It's like, did they get along or did you watch a documentary on it 20 years later because they hated one another and it was a blood feud? So I love that stuff. I think that we don't get enough of that in modern day sports, especially North American sports, where it's like true blue hatred.
Yeah.
Like we got that one report where it was, hey, the things that are being said between these teams is crossing a line. And I went, amazing. Yeah, where can we hear it?
I want to hear that.
How much would you pay to for the live feed?
Well, it's always been our thing. It's like HBO should sell like the rights to like the on-ice microphones, and then it would get shut down literally like a week later because of all the bad stuff that was said.
When they said bad stuff, they meant really bad stuff.
Yeah. I think the Bennett thing with him being up there, like I understand what he said, but basically being like, yeah, we're dirty and we get away with it and we want it or whatever. I don't have a problem with him saying it, but I do think that's a bit of a tough look for the league, having a guy being up there being like.
But he didn't say I get away with it. He said like people complain because we're dirty.
Yeah,
and I apologize to absolutely. He did the Conor McGregor line. And then did Tkachuk go up after?
I don't know.
Because
I just saw the
Tkachuk
one thing.
Tried to deliver the same line.
Okay. Hey, they're foggy, pal.
It was real bad, but he did that. I would like to apologize to absolutely nobody line after Bennett did
it. Everyone was still around like
that. Yeah, and he said, I was thinking about one of my favorite lines, and I went, wait, who went first on this? Because this is actually really important.
They've been at the elbow room for 5 days. Yeah. I think
this is what I mean. It's like, I watched them the first night, and I was like, you should get to sleep because tomorrow's a big day.
Hasn't this made you...
Tomorrow's a big day. They're like, how about we just drink all night again? How's that sound?
Hasn't this made you want Marchand more, though, in Toronto? Just from, like, the media
standpoint? I just want to say on the Oilers losers logo, it was the one thing in all this where I was like,
why?
You know, you're supposed to celebrate your team's success and not celebrate the other team's failure. I know, but it takes someone to legitimately do something you consider offensive or across the line to create this real hatred or animosity that you're talking about, which is good. I recognize it's good. I also think it's...
But it'd be weird if it was... like Barkov, then I would go kind of cringy.
But did they
the guy with the nickname the Rat?
Yeah.
It seems
fine. So what? It's like he's green lit.
He can get away with anything. Kinda.
Yeah, he's a made man.
He's gotten away with it, but it feels like you earned the Rat label there.
Yeah.
Did they chant F McDavid too at one point? Was that a thing that I saw some people reporting?
Yeah. I don't know if they were chanting or the bar was.
Yeah. They were taking part. They were enjoying
Barkov did have on the Instagram feed, like, thank you, Bruins, like in response to whatever.
Yeah,
with
I like
picture.
That.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I like that one. I like all the, hey, thanks for your cast-offs. Yeah,
yeah. You know, all they're doing is the scene in What's Scarface? You want to see a bad guy? I'll be the bad guy. That's them. They're just embracing it. They're realizing that it doesn't matter what they do, just like Al Pacino in Scarface, where he's trying to put on the mask of a legitimate businessman. And yet when he goes out to the restaurant, people still look at him with a raised eyebrow. And so he loses his mind. He's like, you know what? Fine. I'll just be who you think I am.
Right.
And that's all the Panthers are doing. And so I'm into it.
And now their legacy is totally cemented, right?
Yeah.
With the two cups. So it's like they can do and say whatever they want. Like now they're feeling like truly on top of the world. One cup's one thing, but back-to-back cups, three straight finals, it's like they are, you know,
There is a level of it though, Sam, where we're watching this stuff where it's like they're trying to be like the we don't care, whatever. They've earned the right to do it. At the same time, kind of feels like,
well, there's two things.
There's
two things that bother them a lot and they bring up all the time. Is the state tax thing. They cannot stop talking. They're talking about it more than other people are talking about it now. And the fact that they have no fans, they are talking about it. So it's like, oh, they don't have any fans. Like, oh, the people at the bar on the street that your parade's going down happen to be looking out the window. Wow, what a parade.
The same bar that's probably filled with Panthers fans for every game. Yeah. It's like the one hot spot.
So those are the two things that really seem to be bending them out of shape.
I didn't think that the team Twitter account should have tweeted like, oh, they say we have no fans, like with some pictures, the fans or whatever. Yeah. It's like, don't lean into it.
It was like 96% of homes didn't have the game on that they wanted. In Florida.
They weren't being literal when they said you have no fans.
Right. It's like you have significantly
less than every other market that cares about this sport by a significant margin, and that's what people are pointing to. I will say to your cringe point, it's just, for me, there's stuff I enjoy. Like, I've really enjoyed Marchand's run because it feels very authentic to me.
For sure.
Whereas when I
see him wasted trying to go back to the bar and they're trying to pull him out of it, I'm like, that's great.
I love it. I love seeing that stuff. Yeah. And so when I see the thank you to the other teams for Brad Marchand, who took a sweetheart deal with the Bruins, went to them hat in hand and said that he wanted to get something done because being a Bruin meant something to him. And then the organization went, we're going to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
No thanks. I don't mind him expressing his anger. And it's like we loved it when it was the Misfits for Vegas. So why not do it for guys that were castaways for the Panthers? Like.
Yeah.
Verhaeghe, like there's so many of those guys.
Is that Jones?
Jones was viewed as like an untouchable contract in the NHL.
Reinhart was like a failure before he got there. People thought he was no good too. So
yeah, I just think that's a part of sports. But again, to the Marchand point, I like it when it feels authentic and funny. And I'm not trying to take a shot here, but I feel like Tkachuk stuff is forced.
Mm-hmm.
That he like wants to be the villain.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
he's like, and I'm also the bat. And like,
it's not nearly as natural.
Like, the other two guys, Bennett and Marchand, kind of stole the face of what you were for the last team.
Mm-hmm.
And now it feels like you're trying to do the like, and I'm going to shotgun a beer. It's like, okay.
Everyone is.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. Like, relax, bad boy of Florida. Like,
the Marchand thing, though, the thing that you said that you're like, oh, doesn't that make you want him in Toronto more? The thing that actually makes me want him in Toronto more is the night they're out there, they win the cup, they're partying, they're whatever, and he shows up at Dairy Queen at 11 a.m. The next morning and is signing autographs and taking pictures. I'm like, that's just, you know, you can work hard and play hard. I'm like, he's signing pictures of her kids and all that stuff. I'm like,
funny.
I love that. Yeah.
But
it's amazing.
Funny.
But like, how many guys actually show up for that? Like, what are they paying him? Nothing.
Oh.
Like, compared to what he's made in his career, like, he's made...
Oh, certainly
like
not
he could have slept
thing.
Through that alarm. But the fact that he showed up for that, I'm like, God,
yeah, good loves
Canadian
embracing
boy.
It.
I know.
He loves embracing
I love
the fact that it's like he's having a moment.
They're out till 5 a.m.
Yeah, he's having a moment. And this is why part of me does believe that he'll come to Toronto. Because it seems as though he's at some point of his career
nothing
where...
to lose now.
He's just really enjoying the spotlight.
Yeah.
He always does the TNT interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they call on him to do something with him and Biz, he's there for it.
Which are one of the best player interview thing in any NHL thing ever.
And
them hammering each other is incredible.
But you look at even the Four Nations, who's the guy that's willing to take the phone and do some of the all-access content? It's Brad Marchand.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy that's soaking up the moment in Florida and showing up at Dairy Queen 11 a.m. despite being at 11 till God knows when?
Just
do you think
legend
he slept?
No,
maybe a couple hours.
Yeah, not much.
But either way, and just his interactions with people just seem very genuine and funny. And I don't know, I like it.
I will say, I was driving in today thinking about the likelihood of Marchand to Toronto because, Kipper talked about it, and it does seem likely. I have it at, 51% chance? Like,
sure, I think that's a fair number.
You know, somewhere in that ballpark. And I was trying to think of his influence on this room without Marner, who is, another personality of sorts, people like Mitch and all that on the team, and trying to imagine Marchand with Matthews. and trying to draw Matthews out to a comfort level, and if Matthews would take to that or not. Like, if he would be receptive to someone, you know, Matthews is 28, you know, or going to be this next season. He's the captain of the team. Does he want some guy coming in, having a good time, being like, let's have some fun, pal?
I would hope so.
Or is he going to be like, all right, well, you haven't been here. This is our thing. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the answer.
But our thing stinks.
Our thing does stink.
And it has flamed out when Brad Marchand is at his best.
Of course.
So you have to he'd have to trust
he
in
might
the process.
Want to be have the cachet to do it.
So
that's fair.
Where I'm at with that element of it is they've had Tavares, and Matthews is not like as stiff as Tavares is, obviously. Like, no. It's kind of hard to match that.
Pretty close, though, media-wise.
But he's more like snarky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? He seems perturbed. And whatever, I know that the day-to-day of a media can be probably a bit of a grind. You're having like, you're like any human being, right? There's some days where someone will ask me a question that's totally innocuous, but I didn't sleep well the night before, I'm having a bad day, and then I kind of bite their head off a bit, and then 10 minutes later, you're like, yeah, I wish I kind of had that one back, you know? Like, so I don't view Matthews as, like, a problem with the media, but he's not Mr. Media,
no.
And at times, it feels really tense with that group. Nylander obviously doesn't like talking to the cameras. He seems like a loose guy that doesn't get bothered by...
Nylander doesn't seem like it. Oh, it doesn't
does not
bother
seem
him.
Like no, he's not bother. Bothered, but also not, like, Mr. Forward-facing who wants to jump in front of a microphone and... Like, look at those exit interviews where he's talking about how he mentioned the whole thing of, well, we took them to 7 games. And I went, oh, God, he doesn't really have it either.
No.
They have never had a guy like Marchand who would be this much of a bona fide dude in the league, a genuine Hall of Famer, a guy who's been a captain of a team, a guy who's played for Team Canada, who would get to come in that room but then embrace the side that a lot of these guys seem to think is like a real detractor to the job, which is the forward-facing element of it. Instead of having to put Matthews out there all the time or Tavares in the tired stuff all the time, you get Marchand who steps out in front of a microphone and is willing to say a few things and has done it in a major market in Boston, who has won and who has played on Team Canada and knows how to handle it when the right times are to say something that maybe calls your group out a bit, maybe the times where he takes a shot at the media and pushes back for the room and is actually able to say something that doesn't sound snarky, but kind of funny and forces you to reflect as the question answer.
Just show those guys that the media is not out to get
you. Yeah, that this can be fun.
Yeah, like you can work with them.
Yes.
You know, this is not a adversarial thing.
I think that obviously the thing that's most important for them is if you're buying Brad Marchand, what are you getting from him as a hockey player?
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Because is he going to be the same guy playing with Matthews as he was on a third line with the Florida Panthers that's not getting the hardest matchups? No, probably not. In fact, when I saw him at Four Nations, one of my biggest takeaways was, oh, he's not there the next year for Olympics.
Yeah.
He seems to be one of the odd men out in terms of guy who can hang here.
That was, I mean, those games, those USA-Canada games were like maybe the two fastest hockey games. Like
sure.
That's, you're never going to have
those teams
that.
Didn't have third or fourth lines
no,
to
no,
play
there's
again.
There's no easy matchups in any of those games.
But you would, I would say that.
He looks slow in that tournament.
You're 100%. Fooling yourself.
Context is he can't play first liners.
You're fooling yourself if you're thinking that Brad Marchand is going to come to Toronto and have the same on-ice impact as he did with the Florida Panthers. And especially once you start to age that over a potentially four-year deal, which seems to be the way that you're going to get him here.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like there's always this conversation of are you overpaying for intangibles, right? Like we did this with Zach Hyman, where you're going, ooh, these contracts, they tend to age bad when it's the guy that doesn't – but contextually with this team, to me, Marchand makes sense as an overpay. Like, you're really drastically, you've come out as an organization and said that you need to change the DNA of this group. I think that they're trying to do that now at the negotiating table where they're saying, we're taking a harder line position with Tavares. We're taking a harder line position with Matthew Nyes. Whatever part they're playing in the Marner stuff, but he's walking away. There's going to be a revamp in terms of the way they're doing things, at least optically today.
Yeah.
But if you want to tell me about a guy who could come in here and actually change Easton Cowan's career and change Matthew Nyes' career and change the outlook of what the next couple of seasons look like in terms of younger players coming through the organization, their approach with the media, their approach with the game, the joy in which they play with, the looseness that a guy like Marchand brings, I think contextually, if you told me, hey, Brad Marchand, 4-year deal at $8 million for, let's say, the Carolina Hurricanes. I would go, I don't think that makes sense.
No.
But for the Maple Leafs in this exact spot that they're in, I kind of feel as though it's a bit of a perfect marriage. And that's why I'd be willing to overpay it. I've made this comparison before, but I view it very much like the Blue Jays when they signed Russell Martin. Mm-hmm. That you're buying this four-year deal for the first 2 years of it. Yeah. That anything you get after the next 2 years, it's like he's basically becoming a player manager, mm-hmm. and you just have to be able to eat that and hope that as the cap rises and then hopefully your negotiations get better, mm-hmm. that and, you can yeah. still find ways to win.
Yeah, and that you're able to flex your financial might for the first time in a really yeah. long time with other teams not necessarily being able to, you know, spend to the cap when it starts going up and up. But the window thing makes a ton of sense, too, to add on to your point. I mean, you have the next, is it 3 years left with Matthews? Was that the first year of his contract where he was the highest paid guy this last year?
Yeah.
So you have three more years here of Matthews under contract. Like, if you're matching up these next 3 years or 4 years, however many it is, with Brad Marchand, it's like, these are the only 3 years that really matter. Like, look at how old Tanev is. Look at, like, some of the older guys in their team. It's like,
he's not
that much older than these guys. He's a perfect match for all those things that you've talked about. And unlike the other veterans that they've brought in here, it's actually one. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not Marleau. It's not Thornton. It's not Simmons.
It's going the complete opposite
direction. It's not Spezza. It's not all these guys that are like, you know, Spezza, you know, we like to say we men in black sticked it because of Giordano. All these guys they've brought in never won anything. And bringing in Marchand with that cachet and all that stuff just makes a ton of sense. So I'm really, really hoping to my, you know, I'm hoping that it happens. I really am.
Yeah, and you kind of hope that the tail end of it works out like Tavares' end of it, where we all said the back end of that was going to be bad, and then I was like, okay, they still squeeze some juice out of that. So on that topic, we find there's a report, I think Pierre LeBrun this weekend wrote essentially that the Leafs are playing a bit of hardball with Tavares.
Yeah, I had Myrtle on my show today. Yeah. He said that they're further apart than that both sides are feeling a little sensitive now, or that neither side's ultimately very happy. I'm kind of paraphrasing him, which is the thing insiders hate the most.
I do. I'll pull it up.
You have it in here too. So if you want to.
No, here it's. This is from J.D. Bunker's podcast. We have the host.
Now. Lovely.
It's been harder than the Leafs were expecting. There's a little bit of frustration on both sides. James Myrtle today on his podcast.
Okay.
So.
I you know, my thought on this, in LeBrun's piece, he said something to the effect of, you know, the Leafs know that Tavares wants to stay here, and that's their leverage. And Tavares knows that the Leafs can't exactly afford to lose him. And that last part is what catches me. They can't afford to lose him. So are we sure? Because there's nothing else in the UFA market. I get that. But, like, I just can't imagine a world where you go another 3 or 4 years with Tavares when it has not worked. And it's not going to get better. You already can't play him in the, you know, against top lines in the playoffs. You're suddenly it's like, okay, he doesn't PK. We need to start him in the ozone. He needs to play with good players. He needs to be like, you're trying to like position it so it works for him. If he goes somewhere else, do you think he's going to drive a line for $7 million? I'm not so sure that Tavares has leverage.
This is what sucks about it for me is this negotiation thing. I didn't think we were going to have these conversations.
I thought JT was like, I want to be here. Let's do it for four.
They said right after, during the media.
Yeah, he was like,
We've already had a good conversation with Tavares.
He's already spent 7 years here mm-hmm. working against a contract where it's like he's working backwards from it, where everyone is crapping all over
him. These guys not see that? And it's killing them.
I understand you're wanting to get what you're worth and you're seeing other guys sign out there. I totally get it. I'm so surprised that we're in this scenario with this. I just thought he was going to be like a Duchesne thing, 4.5 times 4. Like, it's going to be done the first time the time it's able to be done. Yeah. And it's like now this one is going out through the media. Like, this one that seemed like a layup.
Like, you can get your money. No one's saying don't get your money. Just go get it.
I'm really frustrated and surprised by this. Yeah. I truly am. Like, it's just like, I did not expect this.
So,
agreed.
This is agree talk because I think whatever deal Tavares is willing to sign today in Toronto works for every other team in hockey, especially given the free agent market right now, right? Like, if you told another team, mm-hmm. hey, John Tavares is going to sign with you for 3 years at $6 million per in a world where Brock Nelson got $7 million.
Yeah.
I think you go, yes.
Every team would take that.
Right. So whatever it is that he's offering, every team could take it. But just like the Marchand thing, the context here matters. You've already paid John Tavares $77 million.
Yeah.
Did he earn it as he entered free agency? Yes. Was there some discussion of he could have even gotten more at the time and took less? I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a bit of an urban legend.
The San Jose thing?
Yeah.
I feel like that was some maybe manufactured leverage.
Yeah, I think it's a little – I've never heard anybody tell me point blank that that's 100%
true. He was going to go.
Yeah, he was going to go, and it was $13 million for San Jose. I'm like, Either way, he clearly had options. He could have signed this deal in other places, and he came to Toronto. So it's not like Toronto just did him a huge favor, bailed him out for an $11 million deal. Mm-hmm. It was like fair market value. But still, you've made $77 million with the Leafs, plus what you've made with the Islanders. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to feel paid and appreciated for their work. But for John Tavares, no one's appreciating you for anything more than what you don't take. Mm-hmm. That the last play for you is winning a Stanley Cup. You want to make your market value? Go to Utah then.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go, can. That's what I'm saying.
And
go get
no
it.
No one's going to cry. And everyone's going to say,
we're going to judge you.
For sure. And I think that that's, that's, I think what we that do that's for fair. But for a guy that has positioned himself throughout his entire career as like a Sidney Crosby light, right? Yeah. The guy who's always on the ice, a guy who's always working hard, yeah. A guy who always
Mr. has hockey.
Consummate exactly. professional.
Yes, a guy who's got his eyes on the main prize, and that is to win a Stanley Cup in Toronto. A guy who sacrificed the captaincy because he thought it was what was best for the team and didn't make waves about it. For him to now be fighting with the organization over an extra couple million dollars, and I know that sounds stupid to some
no, it
people
because
you
not.
Go, yeah, millions he are still millions. He's got $100 million he's set up in Etobicoke. He's got his whole family here. Yeah. You have the opportunity to retire as a Toronto Maple Leaf. The last thing that you should be caring about is trying to win a contract negotiation for a few million dollars. And frankly, I think that Toronto's price has to not just be lower than the rest of the league. Like, it has to be significantly lower than the rest of the league. If you're not going to squeeze him, who are you ever going to squeeze?
Totally.
Like, what? When, how are you ever
going to... Is it a business or is it not a business?
Where is the precedent going to be that you're going to be able to get another aging free agent player that wants to play in Toronto, who's like more set up here, that
the
you're going to play
are deep.
Yeah. Who are you going to play hardball with?
Yeah.
You don't get to do that with Brad Marchand. You don't get to, you didn't do that with your RFAs. It doesn't look like you're going to be able to do that with Matthew Nyes, by the way. Like that might be a bit more of a difficult negotiation. You have to flex your muscle if you're Brad Treliving. And as painful as it may be to replace John Tavares with Mikael Granlund, right? No one thinks that that's a good swap amongst the players.
No.
But at some point, you got to have some organizational pride and go, what are we even losing here if we lose John Tavares? Okay, we're paying him $6 million, let's say. Mm-hmm. Like, well, that's the haircut of a deal. $6 million. You've won nothing. You already outlined what he is as a player today.
He's going to score 28 goals next.
What is he? Yeah, caved in by the Florida Panthers.
What's he 2 years right. from now? Yeah. Is he on the wing on the third line?
Oh, yeah. Now you're moving him to wing. Right. Now it's...
So I just don't view it as some big risk that you lose them. I think it's you take that hard line position. To me, the number has to start with a 4, flat out.
Yeah.
You're not giving him more than 4.5, 4.8, somewhere in that range.
4.9.
Yeah, stretch it out, but it's got to start with a 4. You have to have the optics of we got him on a similar deal to Matt Duchene. I don't care about the state tax. I don't care about Matt Duchene getting bought out of his other deal. That guy looked at the Dallas Stars and said, I'm old. I still want to win. I'm happy with my situation. I'm set up here. I want to be here. You got to do the same with Tavares.
Tavares also won his tax thing with the CRA or whatever. So
which is a win for all of us, I see.
It's a massive win for all of us to let athletes know they can come here and keep more of their money. I'm not even
I meant it more just like,
that.
I hate the tax man like the rest of you. Like,
but I do think it's great for Toronto, for Canadian sports fans who want there to be ways for these guys to keep their money so it's more appealing to come here. But yeah, it is going to be fascinating because I also think if this is home and where you want to be, where you're going to retire – you don't want people always viewing you through the lens of what you earn.
A contract. Which they will if you make $6 million.
Yes. Yeah. Just be the guy who's from here, 100 schmil, actually 111 so far.
Yeah.
You know, what's...
But, like, is he really grinding, like, his agent telling
him? And maybe not. Maybe this is like, all right, I'm trying to get to...
We've got multiple reports, and in a climate where... Sam Bennett standing up at a podium going, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
Where Matthew Shane's going, hey, it's done, it's over, it's easy.
Where, no conversation.
Like, yeah, and not to make this about the state tax stuff again, because I do think it's a part of it, but even an RFA like Maverick Bourque signs the one-year deal immediately for literally like $900K, basically free. And there's just deals being done all around the hockey world.
Tons of contracts are getting signed.
If there was one place in the hockey universe that was dying for one off season where we weren't doing this stuff, it's here. And so for Tavares to even not be able to understand that of what a lengthy negotiation starts to look like for him, even if he does end up going to the number, it's just, it's burning people out. We're sick of it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, there's too much contract negotiation, PTSD, to have
and
it be
showing
like,
you that they can't learn anything.
Yes, it's like the same. It's like Tavares is doing this now. Like, when everybody thought it was just a slam dunk, and there's just people are going to resent them if it's anything above five.
It's like every year we go into the playoffs, we're like, maybe they've learned. Maybe they've learned. We get, it's all about the, we get back to the contract talks. Like, it's happening again. But they haven't learned.
How much of this is it being just Toronto and the agents using whatever, like, how much of that is in this?
But that's crummy enough to me if you're trying to do that at this point.
Yeah, that's like, that's it. But so to me, the bigger question, more conspiratorial,
yeah,
but like fully tinfoil hat.
Let's go.
Is that the whole league, you know how when the best players take less money, all the rest of the league gets pissed because they go, hey, you're the ones that are supposed to be.
But people were pissed at Connor.
Yeah,
when he took 13.25, whatever he took.
That's my point, is that there's always this undercurrent of when the best players don't maximize their value, that they've not done well by the rest of the league. And I do wonder sometimes, not to over-Toronto it, but if there's added pressure in Toronto because it is the most visible.
But see, no. See, because to me, you're easily able as another agent or a team to say, Crosby took 8.7 times two.
Yeah.
That's an outlier. That's that, you know, he's Sid. He's doing that because blank, blank, blank. And you could do that with Tavares, right?
Just it's loves like, his number. Has Tavares made more money than Sid in his career now?
Oh, God, it's a great question.
Yeah.
But, like, the Sid thing is a great example where he's like, we're not doing a big negotiation. It's not about money. I'm going to give these guys two more years. I'm trying to win another cup, 8-7. Okay. You know, what do you have, 90 points this year, Team Canada? Like, I just don't see how you can be like, I want a million less than Sid.
Yeah, but has he made more?
I thought you were Googling it.
I was like, anyway, I'm with you. I agree. I think that they got to squeeze Tavares.
Not even close. Sid's made $35
million. Oh, okay. Yeah. I just thought because
111 for JT, 147 for Sid.
Sid signed one of those long 13 ones for 8-7, didn't
he? Yeah, that's right.
Like when they did like the greasy Ilya Kovalchuk one era, like 12-year.
They started around the same time.
Yeah, they did. Sid, that's why.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, but I'm with you guys. I'm at the point where I know that you're not supposed to be quote unquote punting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not advocating that's what they do. I'm not saying let Tavares walk and then don't try to be creative. You're going to have to do other things. You're going to potentially have to entertain deals involving some of your younger players. You might have to be creative with your blue line. Like I was talking today that maybe you're talking about flipping Brandon Carlo somewhere else for some center depth. Yeah. It's not a pretty thing, but I would much rather the Leafs finally take the position and say, no, this is not the same management group. We're not just capitulating to your wants. If you don't want to be here for the number that we have, then we're going to find a different way to win. And last year, everybody took to the pulpit and hammered the Tampa Bay Lightning for the way that they treated their captain, the face of their franchise, Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, myself included.
And could you imagine had they actually gone up and paid him that deal? Like, the odds Tavares could end up in the exact same situation where he walks from Toronto, goes and signs $7 million in Utah, and we're looking at his numbers and going, hey, their power play kind of stinks, and they're talking about taking Tavares off power play one, and they don't use him in the D zone, and people in Utah who don't know anything about hockey are frustrated with this guy.
Yeah, easy.
That's not a non-zero percentage.
A close personal friend, Ryan Smith's fans you're talking about there. So.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, he's sure.
Doing great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
No comment.
we'll draw a clean break because we have lots of other topics. Oh, yeah. So let's do game time before we do that, though, Sam.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 18 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. I was just looking at Bet365 just to know what we were going to talk about here because there's literally no sports.
No more sports.
It's kind of grim. Actually, I get a little bit sad at this time of year.
Schwellenbach pitching tonight for Atlanta.
Oh, okay. No. What I was going to ask you guys, a couple of the favorites for next year's regular season awards. They have those posted on here.
Give me Austin Matthews Hart Trophy odds.
Austin Matthews Hart Trophy odds.
Plus.
He is
2,500?
Plus 1,600 right now. I can give you, I mean, you're not going to need many guesses to see who the favorite is.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid.
You can't bet on Matthews till you see he's healthy.
Richard Trophy. Matthews is a second favorite behind Leon Draisaitl. Not a bad bet on Matthews there at plus 400.
Yeah,
plus 400. No.
The Norris is
going to wait all year for plus 400 on Austin Matthews.
Yeah. No. The Norris is Makar is a favorite. Who do you think the favorite for Jack Adams is?
What a weird thing to be. Who do you think is going to coach best next year?
The favorite for Jack Adams. So it's always, it's got to be a coach on a team that is like on the rise.
I don't know.
Keefe?
No.
Oh, I was like,
Quenville. Quenville is the favorite at plus 750. And then it's
that's a good one.
I'm mad that I didn't guess that.
Yeah,
because there's the potential for the
of course
the story
and the Calder Memorial Trophy. The Demidov is a massive favorite plus 160, and then it's a bunch of guys that I'm not really sure about. So there you go. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out what's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 18 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about some non-Brad Marchand free agents that would work for the Leafs, possible Mitch Marner destination, and much more after this.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Real Kipper and Bourne, subbing in for Kipper today, my man J.D. Bunkus of the J.D. Bunkus Podcast and Leafs Talk. A few more topics to go here, Bunk.
I miss Leafs Talk.
What's that?
I miss Leafs Talk.
Is that true?
I did. I love doing those shows.
I got to tell you, it's a great show.
It was
and
the
I
best.
Really enjoyed getting and to the engaged playoffs.
I miss it on the good games when they're like, yeah, hey, game seven was on a Saturday. Yeah. I do not miss Columbus Tuesday night.
Sure.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, how...
We're like Sam Bennett, you know? It's like we get through the regular season, you're fine, and then the playoffs, it's like that's when we really start to excel. Yeah.
How do you feel that your instant emotional takes, how do you feel typically they age? Like the next day, do you often feel like they were wrong, or do you feel like it's pretty much how you end up feeling?
I'm a guilty conscience guy. I've woken up multiple times the next day being like, God, you idiot.
I've told you guys this before, but like Lamoriello had all the coaches when I was in the American League. You fill out a thing before you talk to anyone, send it away, then you talk, then you watch video, and like the next day, 80% of the time, you're like, oh, I had him all wrong.
I really don't want to sound like too precious about this because I think what we do is mostly just really fun. Mm-hmm. You get to shoot it with your buddies, and like our show is literally one of my best friends who's ever lived. That I get to just sit there with and do what we've done as friends, like our entire relationship, mm-hmm. which is like bitch and moan about the team or then like celebrate something fun that's happening. But I really like that I'm able to do the reactionary show mm-hmm. and then sleep on it and then see how I feel about stuff in the morning and then do another show.
Yeah, that is nice to have like, that.
Yeah.
100%.
I get the... Here's how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I don't know what the hit rate is. I'm guessing that if you pulled the audience, it'd be like, you get it wrong every time.
Well,
actually, it depends where you go.
I get like, it wrong every time.
If you go to like my Instagram followers, it's like, that's people who really like me. If you go to like my YouTube comments, it's mean.
It's meanness generally.
Yeah, exactly. Twitter, everybody's so jacked up and like polarized already. Like Instagram, you're just scrolling, watching dog videos. Yeah. So when you see something from somebody else, you reach out and you're like being kind because you're like, oh, I was just looking at a puppy. On Twitter, it's like, hey, World War III is going to happen, and also here's free agent news, and you're primed up.
You're just pre-mad.
So anything somebody puts out there in the world, you're like, yay, news. So that it's different. Sense. It depends on the app.
Yeah. All right, good to know. Social media is the dividing. So let's talk about free agents for the Leafs. Brad Marchand is obvious. We talked about him in the first chunk of the show. We all want him. There's not much out there. There's not much out there, and I am of the belief that to remake this team the way that I think it should be, you probably have to make some moves. You probably have to make a deal. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's I don't think we should start there because there is free agency out there. Do you have a couple of guys in mind? Do you have anyone in mind that you think, okay, there's a guy that the Leafs should definitely go and get?
Brandon Tanev.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, like the most. I'm fully on this train.
Okay.
Again, people will... Some people will hate my offseason because they'll go...
He's a wood chipper.
Why are you paying so much for another guy at the bottom of the lineup that you don't think is going to add goals to your team? But again, mm-hmm. I'm talking DNA change. Mm-hmm. What was the number one point of DNA change for this team this year?
Tanev. Chris Tanev.
Unquestionably.
Yeah.
What do I want? More Tanev.
If I get... the bench?
Yeah. If you're telling me, hey, what do we want?
Who was it that hired his dad to try to sign him?
VC.
VC. Yeah. Right. Oh. You want VC. Yeah. Remember that? And then he didn't even sign here. Yeah, like, you're fired. Yeah.
And then VC ended up crawling back and ends
Vanilla.
Up his, His legacy is the only guy Sheldon Keefe ever yelled at.
Vanilla.
I just think it's been.
The only guy Sheldon Keefe took aside in the Amazon series was like, you're going to get cut because we don't like the way you play with his math. Like, well, no one can read my lips. We can hear what you're saying. I really love the idea of having a line that has Brennan Tenev and Steven Lorenz on it and then figuring out who the other wood chipper is going to be and going, I want to have essentially some iteration of the Islanders' identity line where you're going, God, those guys are just awful to play against. Yeah. They're just hitting you all the time. And I don't know.
I bet you all the cup winning teams have someone like that. It's Gord, Goodrow, and Coleman, or it's Lundell, Lustarin, and Marchand.
My other thing with Tanev is that normally those guys get a little overpaid. Mm-hmm. And my hope is, again, that you're targeting someone who wants to be here, mm-hmm. who would be going, I'd love to finish my career playing with my brother in Ontario.
Yeah.
That seems appealing to me. And I'm a believer in the brother factor. I think if you are listening to this and you have a brother that you like, some people don't,
yeah, right.
but you know it. It's like there's no one that you'd rather be around at the end of the day. And so the idea that you're keeping Chris Tanev a little bit happier, you're adding more of the Tanev DNA to the team, you're adding something that I do think is a personality change and just a dude who loves hockey and plays it the right way. To me, he's like very, very high on the target list.
I do like Brandon Tanev.
Yeah.
I was going through Anthony Pacioli is a 3-part series on potential like free agents and stuff on Maple Leaf Hot Stove. Yeah, it's well done. There's just not many choices. You know what I mean? Sam Bennett, not coming here. Yeah. Marchand, we've ruled out as like maybe coming here.
Tavares, Marner.
Yeah.
It's the horrifying thing is the amount of cap space and a horned up new general manager with way more responsibility that is
trying
looking
to make up for the loss of Marner.
That is
out.
Like trying to fill an enormous amount of holes on your forward core.
Yeah.
It's like, that is the horrifying mix here before next offseason.
I don't think it's that horrifying though, from this standpoint. It's like,
well, you mean the cap spike? Just ask that.
No,
the cap spike thing. It's like, I'm thinking of those Milan Lucic, Troy Brower year when the cap went way up and then those guys got insanely overpaid. That's what like, I'm very terrified of at this very moment.
I think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So the fact that there's not a lot of free agents out there is also, to me, a little bit of a, you're probably not going to end up doing something too stupid long term. It's just, there's nobody that I think you're doing that with. Like,
well,
you're doing Mangiapane.
There's one name.
I do love Mangiapane.
Nick Ehlers.
Yeah. Well, no, that's, no.
Nick Ehlers is going to make.
He fit right in. He would be the most perfect Leaf ever.
You love Nick Ehlers. Like, this is, there's like a faction of people that love,
hold on, I haven't even said I want him.
Oh, you did in private.
Did you not just imply that?
No, I'm saying this is, you said there's not a guy out there that they could overpay with this cap space. That would be dangerous.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, well, Brock Besser's the other one.
Brock Besser's a great example.
Yeah, those are the two guys that I look at. If the Leafs signed, I would not be thrilled. And it's not because I don't think that either of them could be good contributors and good regular season players. I would just be looking at it going, that's not the skill sets that I think you need on this team.
You know what Nick Ehlers is for me? Nick Ehlers is if you've gone to Eaton Center and you're shopping and you need a shirt because you're going to a party and you're like, I got to get something. All my stuff is whatever we're moving. It's all, I have to leave here with a shirt.
There was a shirt that looks so great, but it's a size too small and you tried it on and it didn't work.
And you're like, okay, I've been here for 3 hours. Yeah. I got to get going. I'm late. I need something.
It's expensive. Be nice.
Maybe it's not as small as it felt when I tried it on. Maybe it's going to work. And you talk yourself into it. And then you get to the party and you peel the shirt on. You're like, God, I hate this shirt.
Or you,
so uncomfortable in this shirt.
Or you bought it because it was really expensive. And so you're like,
it must be good.
It must be good. And then you're wearing it. You're like, it fits me poorly. And I look stupid. And it's not my look.
You guys are big shopping at Dan Flash's.
It's a very complicated pattern. You know, I can sit there and talk myself into Ehlers. You know, I don't want Brandon Tanev. You need more talent. You need to score. Sure. You need to be faster. You're slow. Hey, Ehlers is a guy that actually he fought a couple of times, and
Joe
his
Thornton.
Playoff numbers were better this year. I can get there where I'm like, the shirt fits okay, and it's expensive, and it is a complicated pattern. I'm going to do it.
It's a really complicated pattern.
So I can talk myself into Ehlers. It's not the right fit.
Can I just say the one counter?
Sure.
This is the easiest one. So if you told me, You're bringing back the team.
Yeah.
But Marner's gone, mm-hmm. and they brought in Ehlers.
Fixed it.
Yeah.
But if he makes 8.5 and you spend more, you know.
Yeah, but I guess that's my question. Is like, where does the rest of the money go? And there's just not, to me, there's, it's like, I like the local guys coming in here for cheap and looking at this offseason more as a, can you get dudes on not, so Domi, the first year was a great contract. Mm-hmm. They got Max Domi. It was a one-year deal and
$3 million.
It was a prove-it deal. He played great. The mistake was that
4 years.
The next year they went, hey, even though no one's ever wanted you for more than a year,
that was
here's four and
almost $4 million.
Yeah, that was the mistake.
Good in the playoffs though.
I like those kind of deals. Thinking like, if Mangiapane, a Toronto kid, is sitting there, I'm not a huge fan. I liked him more in Calgary than I liked it anyway.
Yeah.
There's something there, though, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a bit of bite to his game. He can finish. I'm into Mangiapane.
Yeah.
My hope is, again, that, and maybe I'm being way too pipe dreamy with this stuff, but I'm going, all right, if you come to Toronto and you play for a one-year deal, can you up the value? Can you be in the center of the eye? Can you see if you actually love playing for your hometown? Maybe it goes, like, that's the thing with these Toronto guys is that there's a scenario, right, where things go really well, and you get that year one of Domi, where people love you. Mm-hmm. Domi was bad for a lot of the season. Then Marner got hurt, and he had a good stretch. And by the end of it, people were like, this is the kind of guy that we
have. You have to sign him.
We love you. We'll build idols for you.
Yeah.
And I view a guy like Mangiapane like that. It's like, yeah, man, get the Woodbridge boys going, fired up for you. Like, let's.
He's kind of like small Justin Williams to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of, he's not big, he's not strong, but he's smart.
I'm at the discount Woodbridge. Rack looking at things and going,
Mangiapane.
This used to be really nice. Like, this was a good brand. Ooh.
Winners. Like, Calvin Klein. All my clothes.
It's not the perfect fit.
Like me seeing Banana Republic in Costco the other day.
It's like, you see those. It's like, this used to be a little bit hotter.
Yeah.
I'm a couple seasons late maybe on it, but maybe I'm pulling it off. Maybe I put the shirt over top of it. The look is good.
I can see it. I can see it. So the one thing, and I'm going to lump in two of our questions. I mentioned that I think the trades kind of have to happen. Mm-hmm. It killed me the other day as someone who wants the Islanders to do well to see Noah Dobson's name, Elliot Friedman had him rumored to be whatever. This relates to your Brandon Carlo thing, where Dobson is a guy who's had 70 points in the league as a right shot defenseman, and he's 24 years old. The Leafs need offense from the back end. They need a puck mover. Carlo's been good for them. I actually like Carlo.
Yeah.
But he stylistically is so much more of what they need. Okay, can we put something together where, okay, Carlo goes to the Islanders. I don't know, is it a pick? Is it a prospect? I don't know how you end up making this deal because it would be expensive to get Noah Dobson.
What picks or prospects do you speak of? I mean, Topi Niemelä just went and signed in Sweden. So.
Right. So did Roni.
So did Roni.
Really?
The Ronis and Topis are gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
I don't feel bad about us minimizing them for the past 5 years then.
I just
that's the only way I could see, okay, that's a really meaningful thing to get a guy like that. I recognize they don't have the cash to afford
that. Obviously, to me, that's kind of like one of the more ideal paths that you can take is finding a way to take a good roster player and upgrade without having to take a massive cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the only thing I think you have to avoid in terms of deals that involve star players is having it feel like, oh wait, are we just back to core four here, mm-hmm. core three here? Like we've got, to me, the idea of this is that you're going to be trying to spread the money around a little bit more.
Yep.
And even though Marchand, you'd be looking at and saying, well, isn't that $8 million? Isn't that what you're talking about? It's like, yeah, for sure. Like that's
11.
But exactly. Like it's not going to be the 14 Marner wanted or the 13 Marner wanted. It's like, how are you going to appropriate the other $5 million mm-hmm. from that deal for a second guy? And so that's why I'm looking at, like, yes, Marchand is number one. I think if they strike out on him, frankly, it's hard to see how they put the money together to get to the cap. Mm-hmm. In some of these scenarios, like all of a sudden you're just saying, screw it, Tavares, just take the money.
Or you're just under the cap and you just wait for McDavid.
Like I said to you guys, when we have to break very quickly there, I'd rather them leave a hole and figure it out later than to try to rush something in right now.
Any Kane interest, Patrick Kane?
Like
I don't have any.
A dash of it. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Kane get a look with Matthews.
Yeah.
But Is it something that I'm like, you gotta, and
you just watched that Stanley Cup final. Like, maybe Kane could have another year if he's $1 million.
He had 59 points last year.
I know, if he's surprised at $1 million.
What was his last deal?
He signed for, didn't he sign? Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just, and again, I'm doing this because Taves just signed, but when I saw that Taves contract where it was like, make up to $7 million.
So it was 5.25 in the regular season.
Yeah. But if they win a cup, it's up to seven. So, but it's like,
is that what he got? I knew.
Buddy, if he just plays like 60 games and they make it to the playoffs, it's a $5.25 million contract.
Good agent.
Canes was $4 million last year.
That's what I'm saying is, I don't want to pay Patrick Kane
$4
million.
But I would take Patrick Kane instead of Max Domi if you move his money.
Yeah.
You know, something like that where it's like, can you...
You could have done that scenario with a lot.
But now you have no centers on the roster. It's like Domi right now is on track
What about Pugh Suter? Yeah. Pugh Suter is going to make $4.5 million. He scored 20, take and shoot it.
You can interest me in that.
Yeah, you know, that's one. He's 29 years old.
I don't know. There's just not fast, not
big.
My entire problem with everything this offseason is that it's like the one center that you'd like to have back on a really cheap deal is Tavares, and for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like it's going that way right now. We'll see how it plays out. The rest of the center market is terrible.
Terrible.
There's no way to really pivot your D in a way that you're looking at it and going, okay, this kind of a shakeup would be good for you free agent-wise. There's just a bunch of wingers that you kind of like. Like, I like Riley Smith.
Yeah.
You know, like,
how about a league minimum deals? This Cole Koepke was on a good line in Boston last year.
Yeah,
or,
it's stuff like that. It's moves like that that I look at and go, hey, can you find a good bargain version from this group of players? Yes, the Canes, the Mangiapanis, whatever. Guys that are coming in under the full market value because they would rather play in Toronto, whether it's the chance to win, make a little money off the ice, get a little bit more visibility, whatever it is. That's sort of the way I'm looking at it. As a more holistic standpoint, rather than me feeling like there's one target that you got to have other than Tanev, because like I said, more Tanev.
You know who is out there as a UFA is Leafs deadline legend last year, Luke Kunin. No, Luke Kunin.
Oh.
They can get him for whatever they want. Yeah, that was hot rumor. Hot rumor.
I've seen enough Luke Kunins.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay, so.
Where's Marner going?
There you go. So that is the question. So Marner's not going to be a Toronto Maple Leaf. Did you hear? So what is the most fascinating, what outcomes do you see? What would be the most interesting?
Well, the most fascinating would be Florida.
It is, 100%.
There's no even second place close.
It is also, he can't win if he goes to Florida. Like, I don't mean like he can't physically win. I mean, there's almost no way to win. If you go and you win the cup, you're Kevin Durant who went to Golden State, never goes, well, you kind of got one, but whatever. And if you go and you don't win, everyone went, this guy's toxic.
Yeah. Imagine they lose to the Leafs with him on there.
You know, like, to me, it's a lose-lose.
I can't have the Thunder
lose
and then that. The Thunder and then Mitch Marner eliminates the Leafs in the same calendar year would be too much for me to endure. I would say that, so Florida would be one. Two would be Carolina simply because of the lack of waiving the no move.
Yeah.
Because if he was to sign there, you go, hey, everyone understands that your wife was pregnant and that was a difficult thing to do. But you are, that's not an unprecedented thing that's ever happened in sports where someone's had to move when someone was pregnant and they had to figure out, like, you have the means.
Andy Olchek on our show got traded while his wife was in labor.
Yeah, like, I understand why he didn't want to do it. I'm fine with him not doing it in that situation. I'm just saying that if he was to sign in Carolina,
it would come up.
It would be, like, pretty painful to go, wait, so we could have had Mikko Rantanen in here, not just for that run, but also for the future, and it was all because you weren't willing to go there earlier. Yeah. Like, think about how it felt if for those of us of a certain age, when Sundin did decide to come back and play in the NHL.
It felt very bad.
Yeah, it did. And obviously everyone got over that, and I think that we as a market overreacted to Sundin when he didn't waive the no move originally, but for a little bit there, it was a real tough feeling until he came back and won a game against the Leafs, and then it was like, things are better now.
Backhand top corner on Vesna.
So to have it go that way where you sign with that team and it directly cost you a Hall of Famer,
Where do you think he's going?
Vegas.
What's the thought process there?
I think that they get rid of Pietrangelo and that they find ways to... That's what the Golden Knights do. And this is my whole thing with people who are like, well, you don't want to sign bad contracts because what if McDavid comes up? You're like, you'll just move off the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what good teams do, and that's what I think Vegas does.
Yeah, I think LA because it sounds cool.
Ducks.
I guess it's say he lives on the
Ducks
beach.
With Quenville. Yeah. They're trying to like be Win Nowy. I think he goes to the Ducks.
He's the gets perfect 14, duck.
$14.5 million. And they just sign.
He'll be the guy for the Ducks.
Yeah, exactly.
Either way, I'm just sick of
them. Wear those candy ass jerseys.
All right, Bunk, thanks for joining us, pal. We will be back tomorrow with Nick Kiprios. And yeah, we'll see you then. Thank you very much.